State lawmakers have plenty of competing priorities to consider as they wrap up this legislative session. One of those is what to do with the state's health insurance exchange, HealthSource RI. Well, joining me in the studio now is Rhode Island Public Radio healthcare reporter Kristen Gourlay to talk about what's at stake. Kristen, a pretty lively debate has developed around this question of whether to keep HealthSource or scrap it, default to the federal health insurance exchange, healthcare.gov. Please walk us through the issues here.
Sure. Well, somewhere around $23 million is what it will cost to operate HealthSource RI. At issue is who's going to pay for it going forward. Rhode Island got a bunch of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, from the federal government as part of the Affordable Care Act to plan and build its health insurance exchange. But the law says it's got to be self-supporting by 2015. So they've got some federal money to keep going for now, but the question is how to pay for it after that. A lot of people are asking whether or not we can really afford to keep HealthSource RI. A House committee, for example, recently heard testimony on a bill that would essentially shut down the exchange.
Right, and they're holding that bill for what they call consideration, I take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's still the possibility that lawmakers decide not to fund the exchange. Rhode Island could end up scrapping HealthSource RI and then turning everything over to the federal government. So what would that mean?
Well, on the money side, there are some potential costs to defaulting to the federal exchange. So here's what HealthSource RI officials tell me. First, the federal government assesses what amounts to a fee, basically, on small business and individual health insurance policies. They figured that would be about 1.9%, and insurers would presumably pass that cost on to policyholders. Then it would probably cost money just to dismantle HealthSource RI. Oregon, for example, they're facing this right now. They just put out a request for proposals from technology companies to help dismantle their troubled exchange. And it looks like the job will cost millions. Also, HealthSource officials think the federal government could charge a penalty for shutting it down.
Well, couldn't you make the argument then that we lose more than just money? What about local control? For instance, well, the ability to tailor plans on the exchange that would fit our local market.
Absolutely right. HealthSource RI, not surprisingly, tells me they think we stand to lose a lot. We lose, for example, the local customer service support, the people in the call center and the walk-in centers here in Rhode Island who know the area. They say we lose local control, like you say, the ability to use the exchange as kind of a lever to negotiate lower cost health plans based on, you know, truly local data on what's happening here locally. We haven't really seen those lower costs yet, by the way, though they say that's coming. But Dave, HealthSource RI isn't the only voice here. There are several groups that have been speaking out in support of keeping HealthSource RI around. For example, the Economic Progress Institute and Kids Count Rhode Island both say it's already benefited their constituencies. And by the way, those are mostly the state's poorest residents. Rhode Island's exchange offers a kind of one-stop shopping for people who need health insurance and might qualify for some help paying for it. On the federal exchange, in contrast, the process is a bit more complicated depending on what kind of financial assistance you might get.
Now, how about arguments in favor of shutting HealthSource RI down and using the federal exchange? You could also make the case that we just cannot afford the $23 million price tag, or that it doesn't make much difference, really, whether you buy insurance on a state or federal-run exchange.
Definitely. And some groups are making the case that Rhode Island's health insurance exchange just isn't adding much value, that it doesn't offer a good return on investment. The Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, for example, says the exchange hasn't enrolled nearly as many individuals or small businesses as expected. I should say that HealthSource RI officials will tell you they were pleased with enrollment numbers, but it's true that small business signups were pretty disappointing. Anyway, the Center for Freedom and Prosperity also says that Rhode Island's exchange isn't making good on its claim to drive down health insurance costs. And I think that's been true so far, but I hear there will be some lower-priced health plans on the exchange in 2015. The center also just came out with a claim that state officials were advised not to build our own exchange back in 2009, according to a report from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Dave, I read the report, and that's not exactly what it said. It said that Rhode Island would face some challenges because of its size and that building a full exchange, meaning that everyone has to use it, wasn't likely to work here. But it did say Rhode Island could benefit from building certain pieces of an exchange.
Okay, now who else wants to pull the plug on the health exchange?
Well, there's this group out of Florida called the Foundation for Government Accountability that recently sent someone to testify, actually, in favor of the bill to kill HealthSource RI. FGA is a conservative think tank that's spoken out against Obamacare, and they've been active on this question of other states' exchanges as well. FGA claims the cost of running the exchange is just the tip of the iceberg, because states are already on the hook for a growing number of health-related expenses, like Medicaid. Their basic argument is, this thing is too expensive, taxpayers aren't going to want to foot the bill, and it probably won't work anyway. And they point to the experiences of Massachusetts and Oregon, whose exchanges have been pretty unsuccessful and very costly. But other states have found ways to pay for their exchanges, and they seem to be working.
So are there similar discussions about this going on in other states?
Yeah, yes and no. Some are considering whether to dump their exchanges, but mainly because they were disastrous. Remember, only a handful of states opted to set up their own exchanges, and the majority of states defaulted to the federal exchange. But of the states who set up their own exchanges, Rhode Island's has worked pretty well. So is Kentucky's, for example. I checked in with their exchange to find out how they're moving forward. And Dave, as it turns out, Kentucky'd already made a decision about how to pay for its exchange. They're charging insurers a fee, basically. What's curious, though, there is that some of the most vocal opponents of Obamacare represent Kentucky in Congress, and even they've kind of shied away from attacking the exchange because it's worked so well.
Now, briefly, Kristen, what happens next back here in Rhode Island?
Lawmakers are going to hash out that budget, and we'll see whether they include money for HealthSource, or, as one lawmaker told me he expects, they kick the can to January for the next session to decide. Meanwhile, HealthSource tells me they'll be all right for fiscal year 2015, but they wouldn't give me specifics on what other funding options they're considering if things go sour for them in the state budget.
Kristen Gourlay is Rhode Island Public Radio's healthcare reporter. Kristen, thanks.
You're welcome, Dave.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.